Welcome back, and in this lesson we're going deep on Roughneck Chop Balance in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB vibes. This is an advanced one, so we're not just making a bassline that plays notes. We are building a bass phrase that actually converses with the drums, with the break, with the snare pocket, and with silence itself. If you want that proper hardcore pressure, that raw jungle tension, the key idea is balance. Not just balance between sub and mid bass, but balance between density and space, between movement and restraint, between what you hear and what you don't hear. That's what makes a Roughneck bassline feel alive. First thing, don't start with the bass sound in isolation. Start with the drum context. Get your break loop in place first, whether that's an amen style chop, a funky drummer fragment, or any tight jungle hybrid pattern. Put the project somewhere around 160 to 174 BPM, and make sure you've got a kick and snare pattern present so you can immediately hear how the bass is interacting with the backbeat. That point matters a lot. A bass sound can feel huge on its own and still completely wreck the groove once the drums are in. In jungle and old school DNB, the drums are not just a metronome. They are part of the bass line conversation. So listen to the pocket first, then right into it. Now let's build the sub foundation. Make a MIDI track and load up Operator or Waveedable. For this part, Operator is a beautiful choice because it's clean, direct, and very easy to keep disciplined. Use a sine wave, keep it mono, and keep the voice count at 1. Set it down around 2 to 3 octaves lower than the main register and give it just a tiny bit of release, maybe 50 to 120 milliseconds, so it doesn't click off too abruptly. At this stage, keep the sub simple. Root note first. Maybe one or two passing notes if the phrase needs a bit of movement, but don't get clever too early. The sub is the floor. It's not the melody. It's the thing that holds the whole room up, while the rest of the bass gets rude. If you're in a minor key, say a minor, anchor around A and maybe use G or F as a turnaround note. That's enough to create motion without muddying the low end. Keep this layer dead center, and use utility after the instrument if you want to guarantee mono. Now we move to the fun part, the chopped mid bass. This is where the Roughneck attitude lives. Make a second MIDI track and build a mid-bass voice that's short, gritty, and a little unstable. A saw-based or pulse-based sound works really well here. Waveedable is great, or you can even use Operator and dirty it up afterward. A solid stock chain would be something like this. Waveedable, then Saturator, then maybe Amp, or Overdrive for extra grit, then EQ8 to high-pass the low end and auto-filter for movement. The important thing is to keep this layer out of the sub's way. High pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on how dense the arrangement is. And think short, think talkative, think chopped Reese meets rave stab. You're not making a pad, you're making a bass voice that snaps, answers, disappears, and comes back with attitude. Short amp decay, short release, and just enough filter movement to give each chop a clear shape. Now, the real lesson here is chop balance, which means the phrasing matters more than random note placement. Don't just spray notes into the grid and hope it feels jungle. Build a phrase with logic. Work in 2-bar or 4-bar sentences. Start with the idea that the bass should leave space for the snare, because if you crowd the snare, the whole thing loses its punch. A strong pattern might go like this. A couple of short chops in the first bar, then a slightly longer note for punctuation. In the second bar, answer back with fewer notes or a different rhythmic placement. Maybe the third bar repeats the idea with one variation, and the fourth bar gives you a turnaround. Maybe even a near empty bar or a little rest before the loop comes back around. That empty space is not a weakness. That's part of the groove. In fact, in old school DNB, silence often hits harder than another bass note. Remember that. If everything is loud, nothing feels dangerous. The bass gets heavier when it's selective. When you're programming the MIDI, use short note lengths, usually between a 16th and an 8th, with the occasional quarter note if you want a phrase to land like a statement, and use velocity changes. That's one of the easiest ways to create foreground and background chops. Not every hit should be equal. Some notes are the main shout, some notes are the reply, and some are just ghost energy. In Ableton Live 12, tiny timing nudges can help too. Don't make it sloppy, but don't make it robotic either. A bass chop that lands a hair before or after the beat can create tension, especially when it's sitting against a chopped break. You're after that slightly impatient, off-grid energy that feels alive without falling apart. Now layer the sub and the mid-bass like they're talking to each other, not copying each other. Let the sub hold the root on the downbeats or key anchors, and let the mid-bass answer on the offbeat so the gaps between snare hits. If the sub is already speaking, Don't make the mid-bass shout over it at the same moment. Give each layer a job. This is a big mindset shift. Think in priority layers. The sub wins on weight and stability. The mid-bass wins on attitude and rhythm. The break wins on transient detail. And silence wins on impact. If all four try to dominate at once, the whole tune gets blurry. A really effective trick is to build a call and response relationship between the layers. For example, maybe the sub holds a while the mid-bass chops on the end of two and the end of four. In the next bar, the mid-bass gets busier after the snare. Then maybe both layers thin out for a tension pocket. Then on the fourth bar, you bring in a small fill or a rising bass stab that points into the next phrase. That kind of phrasing works because the listener feels the bass interacting with the drums, not just sitting on top of them. That's the old school energy. Now let's shape movement with stock devices and automation. Use the groove pool carefully if your drums already swing, because too much groove can get messy fast. Often the cleaner option is clip-level automation and precise note editing. Automate the auto-filter cutoff so the phrase opens a little at the start and closes a bit at the end. You can also automate saturator drive by a dB or two on key hits, just to make certain chops lean forward. You can even automate filter resonance a little for tension peaks, but keep it controlled. Too much resonance can make the sound whistle and lose its menace. If you want a proper roughneck yelp, tiny pitch envelopes on a few notes can work beautifully. Very short, very subtle, just enough to give selected chops a nasty little bite. At this point, once the MIDI phrase is working, resample the mid-bass to audio. This is a classic DNB move, and it opens up a lot of creative control. Route the mid-bass to a new audio track, record a clean pass of 4 or 8 bars, and then slice it up. Once it's audio, you can trim tails more precisely, reverse fragments, add microsilences, and even layer the resampled audio back against the original synth for extra thickness. This is where the bass starts to feel like part of the break editing tradition. You're not just designing a synth patch anymore. You're chopping material like it's breakbeat source audio. That's very on style for jungle. It gives the whole thing a more authentic, old-school feel. If you want to go heavier, add a parallel dirt path. Duplicate the mid-bass and process the copy aggressively with distortion, bit reduction, or a little clipping, then blend it in quietly. You don't want obvious fuzz. You want edge. You want bite. You want the note to feel like it has teeth without turning to mush. Also, pay close attention to the snare pocket. If the bassline works around the snare, it'll usually work everywhere else too. The snare is your anchor point. If the bass keeps stepping on it, the groove loses authority. A lot of people think the problem is the bass sound, when actually the problem is the phrasing around the snare. For the mix, keep the low end disciplined. Keep everything below roughly 120 Hz mono. Make sure the mid-bass is high-passed enough that it doesn't cloud the sub. Use EQ8 for light cleanup, not extreme sculpting, and if you bust the bass layers together, use only gentle compression or glue, maybe 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction at most. Clarity is aggression in DNB. That's the truth. A clean pocket lets the bass hit harder than brute force ever will. Once the loop feels good, arrange it like a proper tune. Start with an intro that teases the sound, maybe a filtered version of the chop or just sub hints. Then bring in the mid-bass fragments in the build. For the first drop, give us the full chop balance with clean call and response. Then hit switch up, maybe strip the sub out for a bar, or flip the rhythm for a second. Bring the main motif back in the next section with a heavier variation. That evolution is important. Old school inspired DNB thrives on recognizable motifs with controlled variation. You want the listener to know the idea, but not feel like they're hearing an identical loop on repeat forever. Here are a few pro moves to keep in your back pocket. If the drop feels too clean, add a quiet noise burst or filtered texture at the start of certain chops. If you want a darker edge, use a subtly detuned reese layer under the chop voice, but keep it restrained. If you want more metallic tension, try a little erosion or frequency shifter on a parallel chain, then low pass it so it doesn't get harsh. And when you're deciding whether the phrase is actually working, test it at low volume. That's a big one. If the chop balance still feels readable when the track is quiet, the rhythm is strong. If it only works when it's loud, it probably isn't phrased well enough yet. A good final check is this. Does the bass line feel like a conversation with the drums? Does it leave room for the snare? Does it punch through the break without fighting it? If yes, you're in the zone. So to recap the core idea, build the drum context first, make the sub mono and stable, make the mid-bass short and selective, use call and response instead of constant chatter, and resample when you want more control and more old-school character. Then arrange with tension, release, and variation so the bass line feels like an actual DNB drop, not just a static loop. For practice, try this at 170 BPM, load a chopped break, program a simple kick and snare skeleton, make a sine sub and operator, build a gritty mid bass and wavitable or operator, and write a 4-bar phrase with a couple of strong chops, a couple of ghost chops, one lighter response bar, and one turnaround bar with a rest or a reverse effect. Then resample the mid bass, chop one audio fragment in half, and compare the loop with and without the mid bass for a few seconds. Make just one change, like removing a note, shortening a note, or darkening a filter sweep. That's the kind of focused workflow that gets results fast.